Hi, this is Peter Asher, and you're listening to the Fab Forum.
Welcome to Fab Forum.
Pop, the angels sing. Pop, the newborn king. Pop, you know the angels sing. Pop.
And welcome to another edition of Fab Forum, a weekly podcast where we talk about the Beatles. And this week, I am joined, as always, by my three friends and fellow fan collectors and music enthusiasts.
We're here, too.
Oh yeah, right. You guys are here, too. Yeah.
You're talking about us?
Yeah, well, aren't
Thank
you
guys? You.
You're welcome. All right, and they would be, and you've heard them all by now, Mr. Rob Leonard.
Hi.
Mr. Mitch Axelrod.
Hello.
And Mr. Ken Michaels.
Hi there.
And we're going to talk about, what I think is a fun topic today, in the spirit of the Yule Tide, which I think comes in at about 6:45 this morning in Eastern Time.
You'll know.
We're going to talk about every year the Fabs would go into the studio and give their fans a Christmas present, a holiday gift of sorts, in the form of their Christmas messages. And we're going to sort of talk about not just the Beatles' Christmas messages, but over the years, each of the four Beatles gave us some form of holiday cheer in our Beatle Christmas baskets, as it were, which sounds rude, but I'm going to just let that go.
Rather have Swiss collar.
And you've got a. We'll start with Mitch today because Mitch has a nice list of fun things. And what I'm going to toss out is, first of all, let's talk about how the fan club messages got started. And Mitch, do you want to?
Yes, I would love to.
Please enlighten. You've got some great paperwork there.
Yes, it's amazing what Google will do.
No, actually, and Google is one of our listeners, by the way.
Yes, so thank you, Google.
You think we're going
we
online.
Will be thank you to, for Googling. No, it started back, Tony Barrow, the Beatles, what do you want to call him, press?
Yeah. Press officer?
Press officer.
I liked his brother, Wheel.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. We'll continue.
We'll phone you.
Exactly. No, it started by Tony Barrow coming up with an idea because the Queen actually used to give her Christmas message on December 25th to all the people. So Tony Barrow said, you know what? The Beatles are very busy. They can't do that. So why don't we just get together and record a message and send it out a few weeks before Christmas to everybody over in, all the world.
I'd like to thank everyone for buying my new album, and especially those of you. And
sorry.
With the unedited version of Her Majesty.
Closer to what Carol Burnett used to do.
That extra note will be here. Philip. No. So that's what happened. Every year the Beatles would send out a little Christmas record to the fans. It started in 1963 with the UK, and then in 64 we started getting them. Through the fan club.
Right.
So that's basically the how it started.
You know, fans may, young fans now who are reading about something called a flexi-disc, it's really funny how we were explaining in a recent episode the cereal box records. Mm-hmm. But the flexis were actually made by, there was a specific company that used to make flexi-discs, and what those were little thin pieces of plastic.
And thin being the major word.
Thin being the, like, you'd often have to put a penny on them so that when your turntable was spinning, you'd make sure you had the friction so that they would actually spin at the correct
speed.
And
it would tell you where to put the penny,
And it would tell you where to put the penny on the record to balance it, and you'd put your needle on it, and you'd mostly hear... And in the background, you'd hear the Beatles' Christmas message.
But funny enough, when Tony Barrow brought the idea to Brian Epstein... Epstein didn't like it and said no because he thought it would cost too much. The Beatles would have to finance these singles to send around to the world. Like, they couldn't afford it. He was really a very shrewd person and frugal.
But gave away 90% of their marketing. But
yes,
but
other than that, you know, yeah, right. Different show, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but
didn't
we always
say that. Didn't Tony go to the Beatles themselves and ask?
Yes, exactly. And they loved it, so of course, what's Brian Epstein going to say? No. After the Beatles all get together and say, we're doing this.
Hey, Brian, we want to give people a whole record for Christmas. Sorry.
And Brian Epstein said, okay.
All right, then, boys.
So that's basically what happened. So,
And the thing that you know, for years and years and years, what always struck me about the Christmas messages, and we, I should add in that the Christmas messages are one of the few major Beatles-produced items that are still unavailable, that are currently unavailable and have been unavailable really legitimately since 1970. What happened was every year they gave away one of these singles, and then the very last bit of Beatle Christmas stuff that we saw was a compilation of all of them. And
with a great cover, by the way.
With a wonderful,
which
wonderful cover.
Maybe I love that. Is maybe one of my favorite Beatle covers ever.
It is.
It shows what 63 to 69. It's a perfect cover.
Yeah, it's a wonderful cover, and it's but you know when
actually
you guys,
65 to 69.
Sorry. Okay. 65.
Do you guys remember the first? I mean, how did you first come upon these things? I mean, when was the first time you remember hearing them? Because we couldn't go out, and you couldn't go out and get the records, really. Did we all get the underground edition that floated around?
Yeah, only at that time I didn't realize I was too young to know that it was underground.
Right.
So I bought it the way it was, a vinyl album.
With a very legitimate-looking Apple label on most of the, you know, the gray area editions of it.
And the front cover had a lot of photos of the Beatles, I think, through the years. I haven't looked at the album cover for a long time.
Yeah. And you could see various editions over the years have been taken either close to or very far from the original photo, and you see the blurriness or the bad lithographing or whatever. But do you remember when you first heard that?
Yeah, you know, we had a place here in Bethpage, New York called the Farmer's Market, and there was a record store in it called the Lost Chord, I believe. And they had this in the bin sealed, and I looked at it and I said, it was 1975 or 6.
Yeah, 75 or 6.
And I said to my father when we were walking around, I said, the Beatles have a Christmas album out? Because I didn't know about the messages originally. I was a member of the fan club, but evidently mine never got there. Yeah. Maybe my postman.
Your mailman's
like,
enjoying his original copies.
So please, Mr. Postman, don't take them anymore. Yeah. No, but I didn't know anything about these, so I saw this. It was sealed, and it was like $3.99, and I bought it. I had no idea it was a bootleg or an underground at the time, but I listened to it. I wasn't thrilled with it when I first heard it because I had no idea what was going on. I was, you know, at that point I was 12, 13.
A lot of the humor went
way
right
over my
head.
There was some stuff that I liked, like, you know, John saying the bad hand rotor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's typical John or page two, and when he says that, you know, page two. Some of it was fun, but I never really got into it. I let it sit for a long time. And then as I got older, started listening to it again because it was everything I could get.
Yeah.
I understood.
Yeah.
And then I didn't like the last few because it was not the group together, really. It was little vignettes. We should explain.
I was just about to say, we probably really haven't filled folks in on the content of these things because a lot of people are now running out going, I want to hear the Beatles doing, you know, Silent Night. No. No. This is not the Beatles Christmas album.
Song.
So
before they stop because of copyright.
Copyright, Johnny. You know, do not run out. There are no duets with Garth Brooks. There's no, you know, I mean, this is
darn.
This is the guys basically, for the first handful of them, the first two or three, they are in a room with microphones and a lot of bourbon, and after recording sessions, and basically be, you know, all right, boys, into the room, and they'd have like a rough outline of what
Tony
they were going to do.
Barrow
Tony would
them.
Write some, you know, some notes for them, and they'd muck about. And there is one really funny one where, you know, you hear John, actually, you hear the papers and you hear John saying, you know, and it's such and such. And then he pulls and he says, page two, and goes on to the next page of the outline. But I think that the flubs and the little, you know,
the ad libs
really gave you a lot of insight to the Beatles' humor in a big way.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to bring up because putting it in perspective of how things were in the 60s, anytime the Beatles made an appearance on television or radio, it was rare. And even then, the appearances on television were primarily performances. So outside of watching A Hard Day's Night or Help, you didn't really have that much of an insight or a glimpse of their personalities and their humor.
Right, because we didn't hear press conferences. I mean, press conferences you actually did get a lot, but that was always print media. We didn't see Beatle press conferences until many years later, really.
Right.
So yeah, that's true. You didn't get a lot of insight into the humor.
And you realize that, you know, all these years we heard John was the witty one. Well, they're all witty in their own way. And they proved it on these messages, especially the early ones.
Yeah, and then, you know, what Mitch was talking about too, about the later ones being a bit more disparate, I guess you could say that there's, you know, they're little sketches or things like that. But
I'm still trying to figure out some of the meanings of them.
Yeah, some of the meanings are pretty obscure, but there's some funny stuff. And then you know, toward the very end, it starts becoming humorously self-indulgent with Ringo doing the whole, you know, Ringo, who made an appearance in the film Magic Christian. There's a very funny bit of Ringo starting to say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and it speeds up and then turns into Magic Christian, Magic Christian, Magic at the very end.
Which is very clever.
Very, very clever, but also, you know, also clever marketing on old Ringo's part, you know.
I always thought that the Christmas albums were the closest, all four of the Beatles, like the Goon shows. Which, yes, as Americans, we know who was in them, but most of us haven't heard much of the shows or any of the shows.
Right.
And I think this is the closest they got to doing something like that. And the 67 disc, I think, was the closest they ever got to maybe fulfilling it as a more than just a greeting. That you would say, hey, this is a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
Not just, hey, guys, you know, we're here for 4 minutes and thanks, and buy our stuff next year.
Right.
They were
right.
Pieces of production.
Yeah, I mean,
especially with 66, that's when it really started. Yeah.
Which was Paul's idea to not just have like a little script of you know, we want to thank people. This was an actual little vignette in 66. And in 67, it was recorded. This is the last one recorded by the band itself. And we get the great song, you know, Christmas Time is Here Again, because, you know, O-U-T spells out.
Right. Right. What was that about? Is there a joke there we missed?
I think it's just they wrote it on the spot and just said, you know, Ringo, do it. And
well, the only thing I can think of not to be funny, and this is complete speculation on my part, but I never mind speculating, just a wee, is that I always think of when George Harrison was helping them write the song that became Badge. He wrote something and then wrote the word bridge and put an arrow down to it. And Eric Clapton came in and misread it. And said, oh, and he even put a title on it. Great. And said it's called Badge. And I have to wonder whether or not they were writing the out for the chorus at the end of that. And someone in big letters wrote O-U-T and pointed to where they were going to come out. And the reading it along, someone just went, O-U-T spells out. And they went, oh, let's leave that in. That's really funny because we've had a lot of bourbon. So,
who knows what that is?
You know, the Swans at the Play in the Park was written by Ringo.
Was written by Ringo.
And he was stoned out of his mind when he came up with the line.
But in the last Christmas message, oddly enough, George is in it for 6 seconds, and Ringo's in it for 16 seconds.
Yeah, well, when you listen to the 69 message, it's basically John and Yoko.
Paul. It's funny. I'm going to go by someone else's notes now, but because we do a little bit of research here, folks. But it's funny that says for... the 68, recorded in November of 68 at John's home in London, Paul's home in London, in the back of Ringo's van in Surrey, with George in America and at George's house in Esher.
Wow.
Talk about being, you know, in the back of his van. You know, I mean, you know, I'll be on for 16 seconds because if the van is a rockin', don't come knocking. You know, that's all I can do right now.
Here's my Christmas message.
Yeah. But there's too much there. We can't do it.
But I mean, you know, for those of you who have never heard the Beatles' Christmas album, you can probably peruse the internet until you find segments of it.
Well, legally, it is on Rock Band now. It's an extra on Rock Band, one of the messages. The Beatles did release it.
The 63.
The 63,
Wow.
Which is nice to have it, you know, official, so to speak. Unfortunately, it's for the, you know, three people who bought Rock Band.
Right.
And then you have to be able to play like the Beatles in order to get it.
That's funny.
Is that an end thing where at the end you get to hear it?
Well, no. If you get like... If you go through the story of Rock Band and you get the extras, because you get a lot of great photos, some we've seen, some we haven't, but once you get to the extras, one of the extras is the Christmas message, and it's fun, but to be honest with you, if you win it, you can always listen to it later, but I won it, and then, you know, you see little stills over it while you hear it. But you want to keep playing Rock Band. You don't want to hear the Christmas message.
Yeah, it breaks your stride there.
It does break your stride, but we should also tell people that, first of all, these are kind of rare because not many of them were pressed, comparatively speaking.
Oh, yeah, the actual flexi discs to add to the collector aspect of it, right.
But 63, the UK got it. 64 was when we first got it, but we got the 63 message in 64.
Right.
And then evidently there was no 65 message for America because it wasn't done in time or something to that effect, so we never got a 65 message, so to speak. But there's two versions of the album as well. We got a different cover in America, and the UK got a separate cover, which was the cover of the 63 flexi disc.
Right, right.
But they got that as the album, which I like the U.S. version a lot better.
I like the U.S. one a lot better, yeah.
But they're fun.
No,
they're
one of the covers Julian designed, right?
Yes, 67, you know, John and Julian, 67.
Yeah, and
sure,
and
it looks a little peppery.
Yeah, it does. It does. So again, I would, and one thing that I have to add, that if you go online, for those of you who have access to YouTube, I encourage you greatly to go online and type in Beatles Christmas Message cartoons.
Oh.
And when I tell you that you are in for a completely silly treat to watch the Christmas messages being animated for you, it is probably, you will just giggle at those of you who are hardcore fans.
I've never seen them.
What is it?
They take the McFarlane dolls from 2004.
And they animate
them to the messages, and they're hilarious.
Absolutely
for all the
brilliant.
Years?
No, they mix.
They mix them. They mix them.
But you hear outtakes, too.
Yes, you hear a number of outtakes, and it's just brilliant. So I for those of you, for a fun thing to do for your holiday season, in all seriousness, gather the family, find them first so you don't accidentally hit
Sit around the small computer.
And sit around your computer and just giggle a lot.
Or Google and giggle.
So, all right, now we've...
I'd like to say a couple things about the messages.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Then we can go to the solo.
First of all, it is a shame that it never came out legitimately, because as someone who listens to the radio a lot, you rarely hear the messages now. They used to play them a lot more years ago.
That's true.
Aside from your weekly Beatles show, you rarely ever hear the messages.
I think part of it is because they're 5 or 6 minutes, and that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, they used to do it before. They used to do it, like I said,
years
ago.
Well, they used to actually have one. NEW actually had a vinyl copy of it. And, I mean, I remember a lot of the stations, actually. Even WCWP actually owned a real vinyl copy.
One?
Yeah. Hmm. That had been sent to the radio stations at the time. So a lot of them were still, they had made carts of their old broadcast carts, for those of you who know anything about radio, those little 8-track looking things. They made carts of them. So when those carts broke down and the record had been swiped by some Beatle collector who worked at the station, that's the end of that.
You know? Initials TT?
It actually mixes so well with...
It was long gone before I got
with the holiday music, you know?
Yeah.
It does, especially the early ones, because they're so upbeat and they're all being funny.
Yeah.
So I think they work really well. The other thing that I want to say, this is kind of on a down note, but it's a frustrating experience for me to listen to the Christmas messages, because while I'm so grateful that every year you hear Wonderful Christmas Time and Happy Christmas on the radio, we never had a Beatles Christmas song. And if you listen to all these messages, there are all these snippets or just, you know, fragmented songs like Christmas Time Is Here Again, which is catchy as hell.
But we did get that released officially.
But still, it's not a full song. It's a chorus. You know, all John and Paul had to do was write a couple of verses, string that to the chorus, and we'd have a Beatles Christmas song for the ages that you'd be hearing every single year.
Was that, and not to bring in the business, but was that an Epstein thing? Would making the Beatles, or not making them do it, but would kind of encouraging or letting the Beatles do a Christmas record, would that have brought them into a specific non-secular area that maybe was not, you know,
I don't know, but from a business point of view,
Beach Boys,
how more sensible
Jackson
could
5.
It be?
True, yeah, the Beach Boys, yeah, that's a good point.
And that's a staple. Right.
I personally like what they did when it came out on the real, not real,
the real love. Yes,
real love. Was
I believe
it was
no
Freeze the Bird.
Was it Freeze the Bird? Yes, you're right.
I like the fact that they took this 6-minute song that just did not know how to end and actually made it into something listenable. I know some purists out there. Oh my God, they cut it down. You know, it doesn't go anywhere. It's a song that was well done.
Right.
But it's not a full song.
No,
it's just
not.
A chorus.
But that's why it worked for what it did, because, you know, you have those little bits. I think one of those bits was for Radio Caroline, actually, on that. And then you had to take some of the other bits from 67 or 66, and you made it into something.
Right.
Because it now you can play a Beatles song at Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah, but still, they could have done a proper, complete song. It works well in the context of the message.
But you know what? That's perfect. I mean, you're right. They should have wrote a verse or two verses or whatever.
We would be having a song every single year that would be a staple of radio from the Beatles if that had happened.
They could still play that. It's 2.5 minutes
but
long.
I still would want a full song. You take a look at all the other songs that were fragmented, like Everywhere It's Christmas, which I love a lot. But again, it's not complete, and right. That's more of a novelty type song.
It seems like Paul just knocked it out, like he was just sitting in the front of the piano.
Well, let's
Paul, Christmas Time Is Here Again, they just knocked out. How much work was put into that?
But it's 6 minutes long, the full-length version.
But it's how many words?
You know,
I got my mind set on you.
How much effort was put into that, really? I mean, with the talent that the Beatles had, they could have easily banged out a good Christmas song that we would be hearing every single year on the radio.
Well, I think one of the things that that you know we've got to remember is it's sort of like, I don't know, maybe it was an idea of trying to figure out something that they could work up to their standards. I mean, even by then, by 1960-something, those songs, you know, those old traditionals had been done so much. Would they have had the time or the inclination to go in and write a new one? You know, would they have written a standard, or would it have been, you know, and I'm going to get a shameless plug in here. Go to our website, www.fabforum.com. Go to our little store thing and listen to and laugh your, you know, buns
whatever's off.
At the Fab Four doing their Hark album
and listen to
the video for Hark and listen to like what you know the joke would be of what it would have sounded like had the Beatles done traditional Christmas songs you know in that style because they're hysterical and you got to wonder if you know would they have just come in and done the Beatles doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer you know a la you know Saw Her Standing There or would it have been you know, we really love Christmas a whole lot. And
well,
it's
what did
really
the Beach
great.
Boys do?
You
know, they did Little Saint Nick.
The Beach Boys did Little Saint Nick. They did a couple of songs written in their style.
Right.
But I think part of that was that Brian always had much more of a Hollywood type. Like, Brian was always much more aware of kind of like, how would you put it, like the Tin Pan Alley type way
maybe.
Of doing things. Whereas
but so
I, you know,
is Paul.
Paul was, and truthfully, I think that if it had been of his own device, I have a feeling that Paul would have been the one who would have encouraged, you know, come on, lads, let's go in and write a Christmas
I'm really
Christmas
surprised
tunes.
They didn't.
I am too.
Well, if you look at...
You know, George is getting into the Indian thing during this time, you know, in the 65 to 66 to 67, so maybe they were afraid to write a Christmas song.
Who knows? Basically.
Well, you know, the 63 was recorded... The same day they did I Want to Hold Your Hand in This Boy. 64 was recorded the same day they did Honey Don't. 65 was recorded during the Rubber Soul sessions of Think for Yourself.
In the back of my head I'm hearing, Christmas took my love.
Oh, God. Sorry. Oh man.
Please and then, stop him from singing.
See, the Beatles yes, would please. Never have done that. You know.
So, I mean, they were recording as we've discussed in a different... A show for Rubber Soul that was during the holiday so December season they were too busy with other stuff. I'm not so sure they could have right. gone in and you yeah, know, they had other stuff on their mind, commercial stuff.
And it
you
should
know
be
what?
Noted, you know, if you, that the 65, you know, Rubber Soul was on deadline, and here they are taking time out to do the 65
yeah.
Christmas.
Right.
You had something
yeah,
else.
Well, we were just talking about on our Rubber Soul show how the Beatles were able to come up with quality material under deadline in just a, you know. 5-6 weeks in recording Rubber Soul. They could have just as easily have written a Christmas song.
And by the way, just so you know, there was a little piece of merchandise put out for the Christmas record that wasn't, it was a fan club thing, but I think in like Denmark and Norway. It was actually a little 4-inch flexi, like a hip pocket record, which came in a cardboard sleeve. And this is a piece of memorabilia that everybody's probably seen. That you lifted up the cardboard and there was a little needle and you put the needle down on this and you put your finger in a little piece of the record which was up, like indented for your finger. And you actually spun the record and it had a minute of the Beatles' Christmas record.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, I have.
I never saw that.
I haven't.
Wow. Wow. And if you spun it backwards, it's...
the devil said... No, no, but it
devil
it does,
said Merry Christmas.
It plays like,
devil
you know... Said Merry Christmas. Actually, it's pretty
Ringo's
funny.
Really
it says,
dead.
You know, hi there. This is John speaking with his voice. And then it
wow.
says, you know, we'll phone you. Thank you. But you could do it fast. And you'd be, we'll phone you. Thank you.
We'll phone you like Superman.
Well, one thing, if you look at the messages, though...
That's a good
if
one,
you,
Tony.
If you look how, you know, they start 63, 64, 65. They're very much a working band where most of them are playing on every song. 66, 67, more produced, a little more separation. 68 and 69, it's sort of following the breakup of the band.
Most definitely.
Are you saying that the records are indicative of the evolution of the group?
If you think about it, yeah.
That's very astute.
Just as an overall look at each year, yeah. if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And how
yeah.
they sneak certain songs in that represent that year. Like Obladi and Helter Skelter right. in 68.
Yeah, so. and it's funny, and you hear them doing same old song, you know, and stuff like that in 65.
Yeah,
right. And, you know, now I think we have covered pretty much
well,
about
Well, we should say that there was some outtakes that have come out of those sessions.
Yeah, yeah. And those can
years.
Be found, yep, if you Google Christmas album and Christmas message outtakes.
Still there.
You may be able to find
some of them are very good. That you know, you think there were curses, but it was just more for time.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, more for time, and also too, just sometimes it was the
Didn't
you
flow.
Know, yeah, it was.
What
the,
are we
all
doing,
right, guys? Let's do it again, you know, and let's see if we can get that more, you know, on the mark.
And the Christmas album came out in early 71.
Yes, the Christmas album came out in early 1971. It was truly, I guess, the last Beatles offering on Apple, if I'm not mistaken. It was really the last thing to carry the Beatles name on an Apple label.
Well, other than maybe 62 to 63.
Well,
Blue. 62 to, but I'm saying,
right.
Yeah, that's true, because by then they were formally dissolved, really, anyway. Mm. So anyway, sorry. We
wish they'd release it. You know, we wish our friends at Apple would say, you know something? These would be fun for our fans to listen to.
Yeah, well,
and fun for the radio stations
but
to
not
play
fun for mass market. And I'm not being funny here. Not fun for mass market. If you want to if you want a Christmas product, if you want to give us a Christmas product next year, whatever it is, maybe you throw that in as a digital download.
No, exactly.
Well, I'm just saying they're not going to put it out as the Beatles' Christmas record for Christmas because it's not going to be for Grandma who's going. Well, little Billy was going to love this, and he's going to, you know, the Beatles doing like you they may think
right.
the Beatles are doing, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Not going to happen.
Right.
You know.
Well, that has to be explained when you sell it. You have to
right.
sell the uniqueness of it and what the Beatles were doing at that time for their fans.
And truthfully, we've been riffing here talking about the Beatles' Christmas album for a while, but the truth is that. If you were to get some of the people who were around from the era, and you could probably do a nice little quick mini documentary around the holidays on the Beatles' Christmas album.
That's a different story.
On the Beatles, you know, and now as we're going to, and this is my bridge into us talking about, in the solo years, each of them do some sort of holiday greeting and holiday messages, and some of them are just active around the holidays doing specific types of things. So it'd be kind of fun to see one of the, you know, either BBC or you know, PBS over here do a Beatles Christmas thing where they'd show segments of the messages with still photos or what have you.
Well, there was two things I wanted to bring up. One of them is that I think every year from, 62 to 69, there was basically an album available at Christmas time.
Right.
Within the two-month period of release.
Right.
If you think about
right.
it. Magical
well,
Mystery Tour
business.
67, White Album 68, Abbey Road 69, collection of Beatles oldies in 66,
yep.
Rubber Soul 65,
which
64 would have been
Beatles for Sale,
63 with the Beatles.
Collection of Beatles oldies really, I mean,
was made for the Christmas market.
Yes, yeah, you were talking about that off mic,
right.
You should say.
Not a U.S. release, by the way.
Yeah, not a U.S. release, but a unique cover and a unique collection, and it was done for, you know, the Beatles were, if it was the retail world, we would call them, they were fourth quarter savvy.
Yeah.
As you'd put it, where they were very aware of those last quarter of the year sales and a Beatles collection
but
of oldies.
I never got that album because I always saw it with the weird cover, and I always thought it was not the Beatles.
I
mean, I knew,
did too.
I knew
I
it was the Beatles music, but I always looked at the cover and said, "There's no." I always thought it was like an underground thing.
I thought it was too. I thought it was one of those Beatles sound-alike things,
right.
or something like that at first.
The cover's
and then,
just too weird.
But then again, back to it again. Let's give a shout out, Yo Yo. Roy Carr and Tony Tyler. That was the book that
Illustrated record.
Yeah, and the Beatles Illustrated record, and you read through the book and you went, "Oh God, I need this," because back then, you know, it was.
Well, I love the back cover photo. That is such a great photo.
But then you realize that you know, in the UK it was exciting because, if I'm not mistaken, Bad Boy was new to them.
Right.
We actually got it first.
Yeah, we got it on Beatles 6.
Yeah.
So we had it before they did.
And the other thing is, and you guys might know better, did any of the bands do this type of message to their fans?
I was thinking about that too.
I mean, I've never really heard anything else, and I've never heard them. Any other messages?
The Queen.
Besides the Queen.
No, the band Queen.
She will rock you. She will rock you.
I mean, I can't remember ever reading
about
that.
Dues time after time.
Sorry. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting that they're the only ones who did it. I mean, did Jerry and the Pacemakers do this? I mean,
nobody was real. I hate to say this, and it's so Beatles snobby.
Billy J. Kramer?
Nobody was big enough to care that the fans would.
But they had fan clubs, I'm sure.
They had fan clubs, but not like the Beatles had.
Well,
come
truthfully,
on.
If I could really think about it, and they didn't do
the Monkees.
The Monkees. Yeah, I mean,
Ryuichi.
Right, Ryuichi. But also, Ryuichi, too, the Monkees would formally
have a Christmas episode.
Have a Christmas episode. Well, they would also do little radio spots, and you'd hear them, you know, we're going to wish the fans a very Merry Christmas. And blah,
and
blah,
even
blah,
in 86, they reunited for that Christmas. Okay, sorry.
Christmas so not the Monkees.
Even though Christmas Abbey. Even though the Beatles were the biggest band in the world, the Rolling Stones could have done it. The Who could have done
it.
Imagine
the Rolling Stones.
But the Rolling Stones.
All right,
right.
Christmas past the doobie. It's a Christmas log.
I've got some Christmas snow,
Where's the log, man?
Christmas snow is falling.
You think Santa will like some Jack Daniels? Leave him some Jack. If he doesn't take it, I'll take it tomorrow.
Let's go swimming.
And that's been the Rolling Stones Christmas record. Thank you very much for
coming.
Yes,
there it is. That's what it would have been.
But
99-cent download.
Enough riffing on that. All right, so we've covered the Christmas album. Have we done the Christmas album?
I think we've covered most
of it. I think we've said
this.
Enough. Although I will say 1966, I think, was really brilliant.
Pantomime.
Yeah, who has a favorite? What's a favorite of any?
Mine would probably, I love the early ones because, again, the humor. Yeah. Comes through there, but I love all those bits in 66, especially. I always imitate Pudgy the Bear and Jasper.
Yeah.
You know,
that's something I have a group of high school friends, and all you have to say to any one of them is, "Who'll remember the buns, Pudgy?" And it's, you know, "We both will, Jasper." You know, and you'll sometimes get five people responding to you, "We both will, Jasper." And it is. That's
I also love the fact that they ripped on Yesterday. I think they all were so insecure about, even Paul, about having a solo song for Yesterday, so to speak, that when they do on the message, when they all say Yesterday, and they start ripping on it, and George sings it, you know, I think that's Paul's way of actually getting a little bit of the tension out that might have been there from Yesterday being released as a solo.
Right. We'll talk about that in another show.
We
I don't think there was that,
and we never do.
Well, I also think that if you speak about Yesterday, the fact that they played a full band version on the 66 tour. You know,
true too. You know,
that totally changed the feel of the song too.
But even that, they were still having fun. And it had to be pre-planned because they all together come in with the "Bless you all on Christmas Day," you know. So that had to have been written out.
I like the 66 one, but I think the 65 is because it's the last time they did something like that too. I think, and when they start singing, it's the same old song, and then say, you know, copyright. I think it's a lot of fun. The 66 one was.
But 63 is so green. It's so fun. They're just totally, you know, they're having fun. They don't even know what's going on. They're just reading it and having a lot of fun. You know, you hear the paper shuffling, like, you know.
Well, I would say to all of our fans out there that you should definitely go and pursue.
What's your favorite, Tony?
Things. My favorite, I think, is 66, probably. Okay. Only just mostly because of the Pudgy and Jasper routine.
Hi, folks. This is Tony. Just a reminder that if you'd like to get a real cool Fab Forum t-shirt, including the Fab Forum logo that you see on our website, head over to the website at www.fabforum.com. Go to the store located on the site, and you can grab a Fab Forum t-shirt on sale right now for $10 plus shipping. And you'll get the shirt with the Fab Forum logo available in black, red, or heather gray. Do it today.
And how much do they usually sell for, Tony?
They usually sell for $18.
Wow, that's $8 off per shirt?
What a savings.
Hey, everybody, this is Ken, reminding you to join us for the next Fab Forum show. That's episode 61, when we take a look at all the recent John Lennon remasters. Everything from the Gimme Some Truth box set to Power to the People to Strip Down to the John Lennon Signature box set. We'll tackle them all on the next.
From a solo standpoint, each of our lads have given us some form of holiday good cheer. Ringo being the one who took it to the nth degree.
Well, he's so Santa Claus. You could picture Ringo being Santa Claus.
And he told us that he wants to be Santa Claus in a CD that came out, what year did that disc come
1999.
Ringo gave us I Want to Be Santa Claus. Like, and
which you could not find at any store.
I did.
I didn't. I went to three different stores when they were still record stores. And it wasn't because it was sold out. You had to, like, remind them. You know, Ringo Starr's a new Christmas album out. Oh, okay.
Well, Christmas albums are the kind of thing where unless they're being hawked by the likes of, at that time, 1999, unless it was Garth Brooks.
Right.
Christmas albums were, most of your stores seem to go with the staples unless there was a super, superstar doing it. Because a number of artists I found over the years were releasing Christmas EPs or Christmas
albums. Well, now
really
it's become part of the marketing of an artist. You know, you got to do a Christmas album. Ringo was just sort of at the beginning of that, you know, the new generation of artists doing Christmas albums.
That's true. And so. Does anyone want to comment on that?
I would.
Go ahead. It's a fine record, I think. I think it's a superb album overall.
Yeah. And one of the things I like most about it is that it's half and half. It's half original songs and half familiar songs like Winter Wonderland and Blue Christmas and White Christmas. But the original songs, I really think, are the highlight for me. I mean, there are certain songs in there, like the title track, which really comes across as being very Harry Nilsson-ish.
Very much so.
Very catchy. I don't know why. If radio stations played that at the end of the year when it first came out and really pushed it, I think it could be a staple.
It would have been a perennial. I totally agree with you.
And we're talking about I Want to Be Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say that Christmas Eve, which is a ballad on there, is absolutely gorgeous. And I hate to repeat myself, reminds me of Harry Nilsson, the song Remember. Yep. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, similar feel.
And, Mark Hudson produced this album, and he's got members of the Roundheads and a whole cavalcade of stars on the album. But Mark Hudson, and we can do a whole show on Mark Hudson, too, but he's I really think he's a great songwriter and a great producer. The only thing that bugs the hell out of me about him is that he took Ringo and his approach was, Ringo, you're a Beatle. Scream it to the heavens. Be proud of it. And sometimes he just uses too many Beatle lines or the style of Beatle songs to the point where often you might think the albums are too gimmicky and it's relying too much
on
the Beatles.
Path, yeah.
But still, when you get down to it, the material is strong. And that's what I like most about it. The original songs I love a lot. The only weak point in the whole album, to me, was when he did Christmas Time Is Here Again, because I don't look at that as being much of a song.
But you shouldn't cover the Beatles like Love Me Do on Vertical Man.
Love Me Do
was very good.
I liked it.
The story about it, why they did, was wrong. But it made a good story.
Different show. Let's keep going with the Christmas show.
But I agree. He shouldn't have done Christmas Time Is Here Again. That was a big, big mistake on that album.
And the neat thing about I Want to Be Santa Claus when it comes to like Ringo's catalog is that if you go around and you read reviews of various albums in Ringo's career, and you listen to people read people's critiques of this album or they like this album or they seem to put I Want to Be Santa Claus as a very sort of active part of Ringo's canon. You'll hear people saying, well, I really liked the last album. It wasn't quite as strong as Vertical Man or I Want to Be Santa Claus, but it's really, you hear people actually note that album as being just an active part of
Ringo's catalog. And I'm not being funny about it. Only Ringo can get away with it doing those kind of stuff because you picture Ringo being the fun, loving,
sitting in front of the fireplace,
right, just going
with a lot of rings on and the
just having fun with it. The others did too, but I couldn't picture John Right. You know, doing, you know, right. Rudolph the Red Nose.
Yes. I can picture Paul doing an album of all original Christmas songs.
Well why don't we get into that, Tony?
Yes, in fact, well, there's a couple of things I had about Ringo's.
Oh, and he just blew the segue.
I'm sorry, man. You know, I didn't want to bust into Ken's thing there.
Go ahead.
I think the album is very good, but I'm the opposite. I think people forget that Ringo did a Christmas
album. I'm sort of with you on that one.
People like Kringle do a Christmas album?
They do play it when they do the 48,000 hours of Christmas that they do.
I've heard.
Well, they need, you know, songs, so they'll pull it from
now,
anywhere.
Now, his version of Blue Christmas I thought was very good.
Yes.
It's very country style.
White Christmas was pretty good. What's that Pat Zoom
biscuit? White Christmas, we should say, he did in reggae style, which is very unusual.
Yeah. Speaking of reggae style.
hey. But I Want to Be Santa Claus, and Christmas Time is Here Again.
I'm trying,
get rid of
folks.
It. Bye.
I'm trying.
Well, and the Christmas Eve song, I agree with you, Ken. Really
speaking
good.
Of Paul having a whole album and reggae, wow.
And didn't, you know, Ringo had a song called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yes, he did. Which Paul McCartney, on one of his
You're
Christmas
kidding me, Tony.
No, I'm not.
Reggae.
Paul gave us a single back in what year again, Ken, was that one?
Well, it was the flip side of Wonderful Christmas Time.
So that
was
the year.
Yeah, it was 79 when that came out.
1979, Paul gave us a little Christmas gift, and I remember going into the store and having no idea it was coming. For most people, it was a gift. I remember not expecting anything from Paulie that year in any way, and there, walking in my record store, was a little picture sleeve and a little animated sleeve cover. Of Paul's Wonderful Christmas Time single, backed with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reggae. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reggae was a cute little instrumental.
Which I like a lot.
Yes, I do too. Reggae version of Rudolph. And the A-side has, in my opinion, absolutely become a Christmas staple.
Oh, yes, yes.
It is
whether
a
you like it or not.
And there are some people like who hate it.
Exactly. Yes. Some people put it on
you
their worst
that,
Christmas.
You hear those first notes, duh-duh, and it's like, no!
Yeah.
Because for a while it was getting overplayed.
Yes.
And they sort of cut it back a little bit. It's like Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. You don't hear that as much because someone said...
But you know something?
That song got overplayed, and I think Wonderful Christmas Time did too.
That song is really good. But we don't, and I hate to say it like this, but why do we complain about that, or not we, but a lot of people complain about that song, but they don't complain about Happy Xmas, which is also overplayed, but it's a great song as well, which we didn't really talk about.
Profoundness, I think is what it is.
The deity of John, because he's dead.
No,
I hate to say it, I don't mean it meanly, believe me.
I don't think so.
I think the difference between, and we're going to jump back to the wonderful little green vinyl single that we got
with the label that morphed John into Yoko.
Yeah, and that was Happy Christmas, War Is Over, backed with Listen, the Snow Is Falling, John and Yoko, you know, double side single thing that like they used to do. And that was 1971.
71, yeah.
And for Christmas of 71, we got that wonderful...
The Harlem Boys Choir.
The Harlem Boys Choir. And I think, to me, that single, I think a lot of it is because of the depth of the song versus Wonderful Christmas Time. Wonderful Christmas Time is, while it's the perennial smiley,
cute little ditty.
Yeah. Cute little ditty throwaway.
Say throwaway. I wouldn't
call it
a throwaway.
Well, no. It's not a throwaway, but what I'm getting at
throwaway.
Is
it's not a throwaway.
It's a pop song.
Yeah.
It's something that
perfect,
I say to Paul's credit. Sometimes when I say a throwaway, what I really mean when it comes to McCartney is a dash off. It's something that McCartney woke up one morning and went,
simply having a wonderful
Christmas standard. Yeah, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Sit at the piano, the choir of children sing their song. What goes here? Ding dong, ding dong. Yep. You know, I mean,
but it works.
Right,
that would have been a good segue.
And he writes that in 30. You know, does that in 30 seconds, and it's a throwaway. Meaning, you know, he could have been making eggs for that. You know, scrambled eggs for that 30 seconds, and instead he wrote a worldwide hit song. With Happy Christmas, I think it's a lot more of a... it's also an enigma, and it's also a... what would be the word? It stands out among Christmas songs. You don't have a lot of Christmas songs that remind you of the fact that, you know, no, it's not all perfect and wonderful and hunky-dory. And you know, Happy Christmas is essentially a little bit of a, you know, we can make the world a whole lot brighter type thing, not to go into Brady Bunch mode.
No, not exactly.
Not really. If you listen to the lyrics.
Well, no, but you know what I mean. I mean, we can, you know.
There's a couple of things
over.
There. War is over if you want it.
Well, that's what I mean by we can make the world. In other words, we can make the world better. In other words,
Christmas is a time of hope. It's your choice to end wars.
Yes, but to me that is.
Personal or, you know, countries.
Absolutely.
Right? But
I think Happy Christmas is a song of hope.
Oh, it definitely
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Without it, my feeling. But, yeah. You know.
Both great
but
songs.
The line without any fear changes the song because it sort of implies that you're living in fear almost. That
Well, yeah.
You
know, yeah.
You, but are. You normally don't get in a Christmas song.
Exactly. Exactly. So, the song,
well,
the
only
song
John
is
could
very,
write that
yes.
and get away with yeah. it. And still, even the demo is great. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, and the bells, just like Paul's, you know, when you hear the bells, there's something about as soon as you hear the opening of Happy Christmas, you just know, you know, and when he sings this, and so is this Christmas.
Yeah,
I turn it up.
Well, there are two things about that song for me. First of all, it could have fit on the Phil Spector Christmas album.
You're right.
The only song that the four of them did that could have fit on it. And, of course, Phil Spector produced it.
Yeah.
But it's also one of the few songs that Phil Spector did a Phil Spector to John Lennon.
Yes.
Because we know, like, What Is Life and My Sweet Lord, those are very Spector-ish type of productions.
Well, this is where it fit.
But, you know, he really didn't do much with Plastic Ono Band. He helped with Imagine and Sometime in New York City. But this was a pure, and Instant Karma was the closest thing maybe to a Phil Spector sound.
And maybe I don't want to be a soldier.
Yes, maybe because of the echo on it.
Because of the echo on it, yeah.
But Happy Xmas War is Over is such a Phil Spector song.
True.
And I think...
Very true.
I think, I'm sure John said, let's make it sound like Ronnie could have sang it.
Yeah, and that's a really great point.
But a very good song.
Yeah, and no, it really is a great tune.
Actually, we're going to learn in a future episode that Phil Spector had very little to do with Sometime in New York City.
Interesting.
That's a little teaser there.
So stay tuned for that.
But he wasn't much around Plastic Ono Band either. They admitted it in that show about classic albums. They basically said he came in for the mixing. And they were nice enough to give him a producing credit.
Yeah,
now,
well,
Georgia
he would have
was
shot them if they didn't. But anyway, I'm sorry.
But anyway, right, I just would like to say, because we're talking about Happy Christmas and Wonderful Christmas Time, the great thing about, as many people have said about the Beatles, is that contrast between John and Paul. You know, John, it's a much more serious song.
Right.
And he can get away with it, like we said, partly due to the fact that it's an incredible melody to begin with.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
produced so well. You've got the children's chorus there singing along with it, so it makes it
really
even more,
it a nice touch, yeah.
more of a Christmas feel to it. But then, you know, I don't always want to hear that song because it's so heavy,
yeah.
whereas Wonderful Christmas Time, if you're in a festive mood, you know,
it works
every single day. I never get tired of hearing Wonderful Christmas
and,
Time.
And
so.
I've got to give props, too, to the fact that he sings that song so incredibly well. And I've got
John or Paul.
John.
Okay.
John.
Yeah.
Well, both
and
of them.
Both
yeah.
of them do. I mean, Paul, it's a subdued vocal in a way. But John's is an all-out vocal on that, and it's brilliant. And I've got to say, too, Yoko's voice coming in the chorus is actually...
It works.
Really, really works. There's almost like this sort of childlike,
right.
you know...
Well, she is co-writer on the song.
She's co-writer on the song.
And it is John and Yoko and the Harlem Community Choir.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but,
I mean, it's
her voice on that song, I just...
Nobody
always,
cares because it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean it like that,
it
blends well with it because
really
of maybe
does.
Because of that little kid. You almost picture a little kid going, Mary, Randy, Christmas.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but it works so well that, you know, if you say to people, you know, John's Christmas, you don't hear, oh, I wish Yoko wasn't on that.
Right.
You just hear it's a
right.
great song.
It is, yeah.
And it works well.
Blend.
It's the only time when the mainstream public accepts Yoko on a record.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's
pretty
really
much.
True. Well, and Merry Christmas to Yoko for that. So we'll... Yeah.
Well, you know, that might have been the first time they sang together.
I think it was, actually, because it predates
Yoko Ono,
I'm in New York City.
Yeah,
and the
next album they did, they don't co-sing on anything.
Right,
so.
Right.
Well, Luck of the Irish, they sang.
That was 72, though.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying. Oh, sorry.
But there's two more quick points I want to get to when we talk about Mr. McCartney and Christmas. There was a lost McCartney Christmas album. Now.
I found it.
It's under my pillow. There's a lost McCartney Christmas album. For years and years and years, it was bandied about on all sorts of Beatle websites, Beatle books, that there is a Paul McCartney Christmas album. And that there were four copies made. Paul had one pressed, and he gave one to each of the boys, his fellow bandmates, as a Christmas present in 1965. the 65 or 66. I don't remember. 66.
I thought it was 65, but I could be
wrong. I think it was 65. And that, you know, they're the only copies that exist, and oh my, and every year or so, someone says they found it, or someone says they found it, but I've been keeping it very under wraps, and no one's going to, no, I'm sorry, kidding. What it is, apparently, it's not Paul sitting in a studio by himself doing an album of Christmas songs. It is basically Paul playing DJ, supposedly, for 40 minutes, and being goofy and playing records that he likes. And what it is, my running joke is it's Ubu Jubu circa 1965.
Maybe.
Yeah, is probably what it is. But just to
let
folks know,
is there a Cook of the House segment?
There, very nice. There's no Cook of the House segment yet. There's Jane was an actress, so it's the Jane Asher actress of the house. Is the, but seriously, it. So anyway, those of you, if you do have it, please don't give it to anyone else, but send a copy to Fab Forum. Sorry, just kidding.
MP3s.
MP3s, please. Only actually we'll accept, you know, whatever, however you want to send it.
Catch
but
a wave.
Send a flexi disc.
And we promise we won't spread it around.
We won't give it to
promise.
Anyone.
No.
We promise. We'll just press four copies, one for each of us, and then, okay. Anyway, to get to our last Beatle, finally, it's not really a Christmas record per se,
but
we celebrate the new year with Mr. Harrison as we ring out the old, ring in the new, and the
single. And that's
singles.
The only lyrics.
And that's the
lyrics.
Only
that's
freaking
it. Lyric. And
no,
yesterday,
that's not
today
true.
Is tomorrow.
Just about.
Tomorrow,
and
today will be yesterday. Sounds like
and
a,
another day.
It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, or yesterday, today is tomorrow, and this week was next week, last week.
It's like
anyway,
it's
tomorrow is today.
There's
tomorrow
a verse and a half there. You talk about Christmas time is here.
That's
again.
Right.
Yeah.
And well,
and
there's more
it.
In Ding Dong Ding Dong than Christmas time is here.
That's true.
It's better
for bells. But the single is Ding Dong Ding Dong. And any thought, I like it.
It sounds like
cute.
A Christmas record.
It does.
It has a very Phil Spector-ish sound. It's all right. I mean, it's
Ringo
not my
plays
favorite.
Good drums on it.
And I like Stig O'Hara's cover of the Stig O'Hara version of that he did as a solo artist, Ping Pong Ping Pong, which was his tribute to the Chinese tennis table. Anyway.
And I would like to say that every single year, New Year's Eve, I spend with some friends in New Jersey, and when the clock strikes 12, we start off the new year with Ding Dong Ding Dong.
There you go.
I started
every
off with
year.
Beer.
But Ding Dongs are okay. The yodels and the are good too.
Yes, is George's ode to junk food.
And he
ding
actually
dong.
Released it too late. He's in 74. He released it a little bit too late to be a single to get on the charts.
How funny.
So we should say George. About Paul McCartney's single, it was the first time in many years that it was a solo Paul McCartney. It was the first time he was solo Paul.
Although the video had current member
Members of Wings.
Incarnation
Steve
of Wings.
Holly's in there, and
Lawrence,
I think Lawrence Uber.
Uber.
Right, but
you
couldn't have Christmas without Holly.
And actually, that song was recorded during the McCartney 2 period.
Right.
Actually.
Right. So that was Paul's return to solo work after many years.
We'll see where Paul places it on the reissues when they get around to it.
That's true.
Written, like many great Christmas songs, in the summertime.
Interesting.
In shorts.
Well, I'm going to try to make a ding-dong joke there, but I won't.
No.
But anyway, yeah. So I guess that about rounds up the Fab Forum. Salute to the Beatles and solo Beatles, Christmas and holiday era recordings.
Epstein was Jewish. Where's the Hanukkah message?
That's true. Where is the Beatles Hanukkah message? That's a good point.
You know, Adam Sandler has cleaned up.
Yes, he has.
Yes.
And if you haven't heard the Neil Diamond version, go out and get it. It's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Seriously.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Oh, okay.
It's
I thought
really
you were joking.
Fun. Anyway, so on that note, I wish you all a happy holidays. And however you celebrate, do it joyfully, do it happily, and have fun. And ring out the old, ring in the new, and all that sort of stuff. So it's good night for me. And it's good night from
Rob Leonard
and
Ken Michaels. I just want to say to all the Beatle fans listening to the show who don't know that Ringo Christmas album, go out and get it.
Yes,
it will surprise you. It's got a lot of great stuff on there. I want to be Santa Claus.
Yes,
is that his name?
What?
I thought it was just Ken Michaels, but that's a long last name.
Well, it does look like Santa Claus.
Go out and get Ringo's new album
and Mitch Axelrod,
and we'll see you all soon.
This show was engineered by Rob Leonard and produced by Ken Michaels for Word of Mouth Studios. The opening and closing music is When I Need You by Barry Waller. And with the kind permission from The Fab Four, we're going to end our show with the title track to their Christmas album, Hark, and we'll follow that with Fab Forum's own Christmas message to you, our listeners.
Hark, the angels sing. Hark, the new What? What?
I've come crashing in.
Is that Santa Claus?
A happy Christmas. Anyway.
Were you Santa Claus?
I was being Santa Claus. I was being a very, very
I want to be Santa Claus.
I want to be Santa Claus. You've turned my headphones all the way up, haven't you?
I have not.
Well, it's time to wish the fans from for Fab. This is Fab Forum.
If we have any left.
If we have any left after that. What this is Fab Forum, and we just want to take our opportunity.
Exit, stage right. What was that entrance?
It was me falling into, I was stepping into Christmas, but I was falling into Christmas.
With your bell bottoms.
No Elton John mentions you.
I'm sorry, it's not the Elton
Let's
John
tell
forum.
People what we're doing.
Well, doing Chevy
we're,
doing,
we're just doing a quick, we want to just wish everyone in our own way. Most everyone. Not you, Phil.
Not you.
No, sorry, I don't know who Phil is, but somewhere we have a listener named Phil who just went, aww. But just to officially toss out
Phil.
The a Fab Forum Christmas message. So welcome to Fab Forum, and this is Tony speaking with his shoe. And I want to...
What, you get smart?
Get smart. And
we wish you would.
I wish I would. And
we
Mitch,
should have been called the shoes.
We could have been called the shoes. And so...
And we're wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and we thank you all for listening to our show every week.
Hello, there's Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and anything else.
And everything else, yeah.
Everything else.
Yeah. So
whatever people may think up this year.
Whatever you're celebrating. Festivus. And
Festivus?
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So is there any, it's been how we're up to, this is amazing.
It's actually our second Christmas, but our first message.
Our first Christmas message, but we've been doing this show for, this will be some episode in the
50s. 15 months.
15 months altogether so far that we've been doing this insanity.
I'm
and
so
we,
proud.
And yeah, so proud, and we still, no, when we really. Still love each other, we haven't killed each other yet.
Yet.
So we're working on it, but does anyone want to throw out a...
I would like to wish everyone out there.
Who are you?
I am Mitch Axelrod.
No, you're not. I'm not. The real Mitch Axelrod. Please sit down.
Confuse everyone.
I am Rob Leonard, and I'm just wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thank you for buying our T-shirts, because we really enjoy when you buy our T-shirts, because that means you like us. And we
really
appreciate it.
You really like us.
So thank you for buying our Christmas stuff, and thank you for listening every week. And listen to Beatles songs on 90.3 FM.
Oh, my. Oh, plug shameless.
Oh, my goodness.
Rob Leonard.
Beatles songs. What is that all about?
And if you listen outside the New York area, www.ncc.edu/WHBC.
Oh, my. Like, they're going to listen to that URL.
You can say that?
Wow.
Well, you know.
Or how fast people are going to forget that.
I hope not. But, you know, Mitchell, you know what I suggest is a good Christmas book?
What?
Your book, Beatle Tunes.
Really?
Oh. That is such a good book.
Thank you.
And
have you ever read it?
Several times.
Have you understood it?
No.
I've caught him reading it.
I had to interview him once.
He reads it naked.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, folks. I'm burning all my books.
I don't shower naked. What are you talking about?
Because he doesn't want to look down on the unemployed. There we go.
That is not true.
Well, he employs it a lot.
I just
do you want to thank anybody out there, for listening?
I did.
We don't even have any Christmas stuff to sell, and you thank people for buying our Christmas stuff.
We make red shirts, but this is not supposed to be a commercial. This is supposed to be
He made it a whole commercial.
I just want people to know I care.
That you love them.
I didn't say that. I just said that I care.
Wow, people, he doesn't love you.
Wow. I want to just extend a... I wish I'd gone and done the global thing and written how to say, happy holidays in 40 different languages, because that would have been fun for me to fumble all over. But I just want to thank our listeners all over the world. I'm realizing that we have to our fans in Indonesia.
Can you believe it?
Which is really neat.
How cool is that?
We started this 15 months ago. I didn't think
they clicked on a URL by accident.
Exactly. Beetle must mean something really cool in Indonesia.
Exactly.
But But, you know, our Fab Forum maybe
means something else in Germany.
That's true, actually, right.
The Pietl.
and we have some Pietl fans in Germany here, I noticed, too. But Indonesia, Italy, and this is just in the last, like, couple of days, we've had, you know, website visits and posts in Indonesia, Italy, Sweden, Germany, Norway, Canada, the UK.
Norway?
Norway. I do that.
Norway, yeah, and Israel.
Australia, and, of course, here in the U.S., and I also want to take the time to thank my fellow Fab Forumites for continuing do this bit of silly.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, because you don't love us. Just remember, love you anybody. Told us that.
Anyway,
Ken.
Well, everybody here is thanking our listeners for listening to our shows, but I'd like to thank them for just being fans. It's been a funny year, you know.
Oh, my. Here we go.
But it's been a great
year.
1 minute, we're interviewing Ringo for his new album, Why Not?
Well, we did for more than 1 minute.
Yeah. Very
good. Next, we're at the Paley Center, and we're doing a moderating a panel. Mitch was, anyway.
Dick Cavett.
Yeah.
So and I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners for supporting the show for the past year plus, and it means a lot to us. I can't tell you what a big kick it is, really, to read the emails, to see the emails from all over the world. It's just, I mean, just saw an email from a guy from Australia. Yeah. How cool is that? You know, when you cool. see something
I just
like
saw
that.
One from Nigeria that we won the lottery.
Oh, the one in Australia was that one too?
That was the lottery. All we had to do is send them $28,000 and we'll win $2.3 million.
So thank you for all the spam email too. And no, really, seriously, it means a lot to all of us for your support.
Yeah.
We hope that you've enjoyed listening to our shows as much as we've enjoyed deleting them.
Yes, eating
them. Just trying to keep it contemporary. So anyway, just want to say, make sure for this holiday you listen to Wonderful Christmas Time, Happy Christmas, and I Want to Be Santa Claus, and Ding Dong, Ding Dong.
And
blast them all.
Yes.
Out of your house.
Wow, he just, did he say blast them all? Or did he say, I mean, blast them all?
Blast the songs, blast the music. Okay,
blast us all, everyone.
It's a blast from your past, man.
That's right.
I'm Tiny Tim. I'm the shortest member. Hi, I'm Mitch. I'm the shortest member of the group. I was the last one.
Don't talk about your member that.
I am a member of this group.
Yes, you are.
Wow. I just want to thank a lot of people. There you go. No, I want to thank a lot of people. I want to thank Brother Steve on the left coast. He's been very good to us. And Brother Steve, you know who you are. I don't know why I made him Brother Steve, but he feels like my brother.
Yes.
Because my brother feels good.
Some people in radio have cousins.
That's true.
Are we in West Virginia? I'm sorry for making the West Virginia people, you know.
West Virginia?
Well, we just thought we've lost West Virginia now.
Right now, Indonesia is going, what are they talking about? Anyway.
I think they sound like that.
Wherever they are, we love you. So Steve Marinucci, you know where you are, somewhere at home, probably saying, oh God, why'd they mention me? But we want to say thank you. Yeah, somewhere in California. He has 4 outtakes that were not on the album. But we want to say thank you very much for promoting and all that good stuff. And we want to say thank you to anybody else in particular.
Well, all of our guests, too.
Every one of our guests, from Ringo.
Chris O'Dell.
Chris O'Dell, our first.
Peter Asher.
Peter Asher.
Denny Sywell.
Yeah.
Ken Sharp.
Robert Rodriguez.
Dick Cavett.
All the authors. Yeah. Right. All the authors that we haven't mentioned. I'm really sorry. Ken Sharp. Everybody else. We want to thank them.
And Matt Damon. Although we haven't had time to have him on.
We will.
But we will.
And the authors we promised we were going to interview?
We will.
We will soon.
Yes.
We put your books on the holiday recommendation list.
Yes, that's true.
I hope that still gives us a little bit of a wink and a nod.
Yeah.
So we just want to thank everybody. It's been really, when we first started this, we had no idea where it would go, and we still don't, but at least we know we have a lot of people who are following us for some reason.
We're still clueless.
We definitely are.
So let's see, and now I'm trying to think of what Beatles song we can parody to do. I got a whole lot of presents to buy when I get home.
No,
I
don't know. No, that's not actually. You know what? It won't be long till we stop this message.
Oh.
and then we can cry, baby, cry, because after we hear this back.
Yes.
And for all those people who say to us, we hate the way you imitate Beatles. Right, I don't really care. I know it sounded sort of like David Jones, but he doesn't
that
care
really
either.
Was David
no, we,
Jones.
We actually do
that was
care.
Manchester, not Liverpool.
I want to thank all of you for listening very much.
Thank you, Henry.
Henry's still around.
Yeah, Henry actually is around because when the Fab Forum have fights, he's the moderator and negotiator between us.
Yes,
he's on our payroll.
I bring peace among the Fab
Among the Fab Forum, yeah. So we want to just, and he's from, where is he from?
I'm not really sure. I don't know where he's from.
So we just want to say thank you to everybody.
Droopy
Seriously,
dog?
We love you, and we hope you keep listening. We have some amazing fun stuff in the future, which might actually involve you fans.
We do?
I haven't told you guys yet, but yes, we do.
Wow.
It might even involve the fellow cast members. No, sorry.
Sorry. Cheech Marin showed up? Wow. So thank you, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all, and happy Christmas, happy New Year. Happy,
Merry Kwanzaa.
Merry Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. However you celebrate. Happy everything, everyone, and we'll see you in the new year.